This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malagana's Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Mate.
Yeah.
Yesterday was my birthday.
It was. Happy 30th to you.
Thank you very
13
much.
13 going on 30.
Yeah, that's my sweet 16 yesterday, plus 14. That's basically the way I've been describing it to people.
Whatever mental aerobics you need to do, that's fine.
So my parents are in South Australia. The reason I'm describing it as my sweet 16 plus 14 is because I'm kind of carrying on a little bit because I haven't decided to make all of my friends in the era of COVID come to Canberra to have a party.
Smart.
I'm actually having several little satellite parties in different states with different friends.
Which I think is fine because you're not inviting the same people to the same parties. If you were having like a multi-day festival for you, that's a little much.
You're the only one that's coming to more than one of them.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the only situation I would say here that makes me feel slightly uncomfortable about this is it does mean my birthday is going to like mid-April at this point. There are technically celebrations happening until mid-April.
Yeah. So it'll be a full month since your birthday until you stop celebrating it.
I might just keep doing this all the way to 31 and then just go for another year of...
Seems nice. I don't have that luxury. 2 days after my birthday is Christmas, so I barely get the afternoon to celebrate my birthday.
You should just move your birthday to the next month. You should say, you know what, I'm actually just going to reschedule my birthday.
You know why I can't do that? Is because it would make it it would make it 5 days after my twin sister's birthday.
Unfortunately, that's not what I wanted. Calendar.
My parents like to get it on in the middle of the year.
Yeah, your parents have a very specific time. They enjoy each other's company.
And God bless them.
Yesterday, though, because my parents aren't here, my mum FaceTimed us while we were in the studio yesterday morning. She actually perfectly timed it with an ad break and she just said happy birthday.
She sung you happy birthday.
Lovely. It was very nice. And you were in the background and you made the very funny joke of, can you shut up? We're trying to do some work here.
Yes.
And mum laughed and it was all very funny.
Everyone was having a good time.
Until mum decided that level of humour had opened the door for her to drop any kind of politeness and just demand that you get me a birthday cake.
Which wasn't a joke, by the way.
It wasn't a joke.
Everything contained in what I said was a joke. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean her to shut up and we also weren't doing work. Hers was very real.
But I think there would have been... this question would have been asked of you yesterday. It just would have been asked nicer if you hadn't have made the joke. It was a straight up demand.
It was like, you're getting Josh a cake. You need to get Josh a cake today was what was said to me.
I can't get him a cake as his mum, so you need to get him a cake.
Which, for the record... No, I don't.
It was very interesting, though, because we hung out last night. We watched the new Zack Snyder Justice League. Very, very much worth a watch, by the way.
It's great.
I was very surprised when I went around to pick you up to see a big old cake.
A layered rainbow funnel cake. Well, I don't think it's a funnel cake. But
got me a cake.
Yeah, I got you a layered rainbow cake, yep. The one thing I am more afraid of than death is an angry mother.
Yeah.
And so I will avoid that like the plague.
It was fantastic.
That cake could have cost me $500 and it would have been worth it.
You even got me candles in my favourite colour. You specifically got my favourite coloured candles.
Which was probably, that was probably a step too far.
That was just very nice added bonus. I just want people to know that's something you did. That was a nice thing.
That's very nice of you. But that was not requested. No candles were requested.
Want to let people know.
Yeah.
Right now, in a new twist to this whole thing, my mother is now starting a debt collection agency. So if you need my mum to just get people in line, Jenny can help you out.
I can vouch for it. It works all the time.
It's not called Jenny from the block. It's called people knocks off. Jenny knocks people's blocks off. That's what it is, unless they give you the money they owe you.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I'm from Tasmania and I really miss it. I love Tassie so much, all my friends and family down there. It's also just a beautiful island.
Yep.
If you've never been, check it out. You can't really go anywhere at the moment. Tasmania would love to have you.
I've been to both and they're talking about a travel bubble potentially being possible with New Zealand by April.
Yep.
If you want to see like a mini New Zealand.
New Zealand light.
I'd suggest go to Tasmania because it's very, very similar landscapes. It's beautiful.
Significantly less of Lord of the Rings was filmed in Tasmania.
And significantly less snow, I'd say.
Significantly less New Zealand accents as well.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are some snow and New Zealand accents.
It's worth a suss.
It is worth a suss. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I don't know what you're about to talk about because you're saying you're going to miss Tasmania more than ever today, especially.
I don't understand. It's been spoken about on this show with semi-frequency that Zac Efron is in the country.
Yeah, you've almost obsessively spoken about it.
Spoke when he got a caravan and a hat for it. We spoke about when he was in Sydney getting some breakfast. And when I say we, I mean me.
Yeah, you. It's honestly been borderline disturbing how much detail you know about Zac Efron's movements.
It is creepy, I get, but At the end of the day, my end goal is like to just be kind of like casual acquaintances with him.
Yeah,
I don't even want to be best friends with him because I think that would be so stressful. But I would like to, like, if he was in town, I could send him a message like, hey, you want to get a beer? And he'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I think what you really want, and if I'm just reading between the lines, is you'll put up an Instagram story, not even a picture, but a story, and maybe he sends you the thumbs up emoji reaction.
Perfect.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
100.
Yeah. That's the kind of acquaintance you're after.
Exactly right. I don't want to be his best friend because I think that position's already filled. But the fact that something has happened today that's made me quite upset. I was getting pretty nervous when he was like in Sydney because I'm like, well, that's just down the road.
Could potentially run into him. Yeah.
But he is being...
I was also getting nervous because I'm like, if you do accidentally run into him, it won't be an accident.
Yeah, it'll be very intentional. He's filming a show at the moment for Netflix called Down to Earth where he's just like, I guess, hot and experiencing the world as it is. And
he gets, I like how many shows he gets paid to do that are just that.
It's like, imagine if a hot guy
and I'm going to go camping. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, Zach, do it.
Imagine if a hot guy went to the Amazon. It's like, I can't fathom it. That's incredible. He is currently this week filming in Hobart.
Huh. So he's officially.
Which, for those who are unaware, is in Tasmania.
Yeah, so he's going for, look, and I'm not besmirching Hobart here because it's beautiful, going for less of an adventure, less of an adventure and more of a quiet. Well, maybe enjoy the holiday type vibe.
You could get around Tasmania in a day easy. So maybe his home base is just Hobart because people have seen him walk around with like a hat on through the CBD. So maybe he's like going up to...
there are some adventure sport things you could do in Tasmania.
Of course.
For sure.
But maybe that's where he's just set up. He's set up in Hobart and he's like darting off to all these other places. Damn it.
Yeah, you want to be in Tasmania right now?
Yeah. And we've got work all the time and...
I think Zac Efron's people made sure that he wasn't going to be stuck on an island with you before they went to Hobart.
Yeah, well.
Is that guy still in Canberra? They're like, yeah, he is. All right, let's get Zac down to Hobart.
There's a lot of rumours about Tasmanians. Who's to say I'm not also in Tasmania as well?
Yeah, okay. You know the worst part about the New Zealand-Tasmania comparison we just did, where I'm like, they're very similar. You could go and check it out.
Yeah.
When I made that joke about Tassie not having any adventure sports, I was like, oh, no, they do the thing where you can bungee jump.
No,
I was
they
like,
don't.
No, that's New Zealand.
Yeah. It's all New Zealand. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, we had a little bit of a biosecurity situation that has been announced to everybody because it's already been dealt with. So that's great news, but we've been asked to be on the lookout and be
observant
because a male cane toad was found at the Yarralumla government nursery last week.
That's not good.
Yes.
Well, especially because they're there. How did it get far this down this far south?
Speculation is that it arrived in a shipment of plants that came from Queensland the week before.
Right.
So they're saying that he's been hanging out in like a bunch of packaging with a bunch of plants.
This is going to probably sound dumb, but if there's only one of them here, is that okay?
That's what they're saying at the moment.
If there's more, it's a problem.
There's no concern for alarm because they do believe it was only a single male cane toad.
Worst case scenario, obviously an animal eats it and because they're poisonous, they die. And that's really sad.
Yeah.
But in terms of multiplying...
Had there been more, yes. And that's why we're being asked to just be vigilant for suspected sightings. So if we see any cane toads, let someone know.
It's actually not good because you remember like 2 weeks ago when Morgan brought down that tiny little brown tree frog and
thought it was a cane toad.
It was
for
literally
a
the size of like your thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh was like, is that a cane toad?
Well, no, I thought it was a baby one. I'm not an idiot. I know they're bigger than that. We've lived in Queensland. I've seen them. I know they're bigger than that, but I thought it might have been a baby cane toad, which is very much what everybody's saying be vigilant for right now.
Well, how do you tell the difference?
In case there was there were a couple of cane toads and one wasn't found and has gotten it. That is the nightmare scenario.
They've done like a couple's retreat to Canberra.
But at the moment, we've actually gotten a part of this story wrong because you said that there's only one in Canberra at the moment.
Mm.
It's in fact none.
You said it's been dealt with.
It has been dealt with.
What do they do to it?
Kill it.
Do they say how?
It's been eliminated.
Yeah.
That's the word that's been used. It's been eliminated.
That usually means not a great way.
It,
you know, never say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your nan being eliminated. Yeah.
It's not a common thing, is
no
it?
No one says that.
Oh, it's just not good to be a cane toad in Australia, is it?
Because
you are universally hated. Because that's it. You never ever hear of anything other than the cane toads usually or insects being eliminated.
Exactly right. Cane toads in Australia have such a hate relationship. relationship.
Yeah.
We hate them. Mm-hmm. They hate that we eliminate them.
Yep. It's a real
no
hate,
one
hate
likes this
vibe.
Situation.
Yeah. I think the problem that I've got here is that I don't 100% know what a baby cane toad looks like.
We need to do some investigation.
Yeah, we need to do some intense study online, just look at different pictures, because we can't go around just being biased towards normal native frogs.
No, because I would say the majority of them are very, very, very important to our environment.
They're needed for the ecosystem. No eliminating of normal tree frogs.
I've just had a look. You'd be able to tell.
You'd be able to tell?
Foul. They look like a pebble that has legs. No wonder we people really don't have any sympathy towards them.
I will not body shame cane toads. We can say that they're an invasive species because they are. We shouldn't have brought them to Australia, but you know what?
I feel like cane toads maybe are the thing you can body shame.
Right.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, you and I both have our share of irrational fears.
Everyone does.
I think that's true. I think there's probably no one on earth that has just fears that make perfect sense.
Yeah.
I have ones where I'm like, that a general fear of like the dark is like, it doesn't really make sense because like nothing bad's ever happened to me in the dark.
Yeah.
You're scared of clowns. You've never been chased by a clown.
No, I was.
You were chased by a clown.
Well, I wasn't chased so much as I was singled out. Well, Jeff, have I ever told you this, why I'm scared of clowns?
No.
I was singled out like in Melbourne when they do like the big performances where everyone gathers around and there's like a street performer.
Yeah.
There's a clown juggling and he's like, I need a contestant or I need an assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, my son will go.
Yeah.
When I was like four or whatever. And I was like, I really don't want to when I can't juggle. So, okay. And I went out there and I turned around and my dad, because the crowd was so big, I couldn't see him anymore. And the only person I had for reassurance was a guy who was like, hey there, kid.
And I was like, and his job in that moment is to make everyone else laugh.
Yeah. And so he's like, look at this. And he's like throwing juggling pins at me.
I guess that would be terrifying.
Yeah, so that's why I'm scared.
My fear of clowns is based on the episode of Round the Twist. So that
didn't help either.
A little bit more irrational. But anyway, the point here is some people have irrational fears. Yours are of whales.
Yeah, I don't like whales.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense because...
And I don't wish any ill will against whales. It just freaks me out when they're in the... They're just too big. I don't like how big they are.
I think you've also explained to me you don't like that they're multi-planed. Like they can go up, down, side to side. They can be coming from anywhere if you're on a boat or like,
If there's a bear, I can see a bear and I know it's going to run at me.
Yeah.
With a whale, it can just dive down 20 feet, I can't see it, and then just come up and swallow me Pinocchio style.
I think Pinocchio is based on a lot of your fears of whales. But the thing that I have here is I'm very, very, very comfortable with whales. I think they are majestic. Mm-hmm. I think they're amazing. When you see those aerial drone shots of how big they are and they've got the little baby whale next to them, I think they're incredible. Love the sky whale. Love sky whale papa. There's different kinds of whales. But anyway, the point is, I don't have a problem with it. At least I didn't think I did until this morning.
What have you seen?
What I saw this morning sort of shattered a conception that I'd had about whales that I'd never actually really thought too hard about.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always kind of thought they were like jellyfish. They just moved around, did their own thing. I know orcas are very smart, but they're like killer whales. They have a different name.
Yeah.
I thought normal whales just kind of chill. I know they communicate, but they're just fairly calm.
Docile.
There's been some research that's discovered that in the 19th century, when whaling was a lot more prolific, whales actually told each other about where ships were and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they knew certain areas to avoid. Whales are extremely intelligent.
Well, they have sonic sonars or something where they can communicate through their brains.
The way they teach their kids like how to find food and stuff, they would teach generation to generation where the whaling zones were, how to avoid certain places.
Yeah.
They are so much smarter than I realized they were.
Yep.
Now I'm kind of scared of whales.
Good.
Because there is one sentence here that says that I'd never really thought about either. While they're the biggest animals on Earth, they also have the biggest brain on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying. It's also terrifying for them, for like all your uncles who are like, like at family Christmas, they're like, anyone bring any sheep brains?
Yeah.
It's like, no, Terry, no one likes that except for you.
Mm.
Imagine whale brain.
A whale brain.
Yeah. It's like, did anyone bring any brains? Yes, we brought it 5 years ago and we're still eating it. It's a whale brain,
whale
dude.
Brains? No, mate, I only have a hatch pack. I didn't bring a trailer with me, so no, I don't have any whale brains.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a lady who has had her Uber Eats account hacked, which is awful.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone losing anything, any money because
of hacking,
I don't
like,
is not good.
Yeah, no, I don't like that stuff. Scamming online.
It was honestly like, it seems like it wasn't even that detailed of a hacking. They kind of just got her password and email and like an account and then just started ordering food to themselves.
It's so strange,
which is really dumb.
These online scams that happen where your address is involved.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, then that's who's got your online account.
Exactly right.
Sending food to themselves.
And so this lady's immediately been like, not only do I know what what's happened. I've been hacked. Mm-hmm. But I also know exactly where it's gone.
Yeah.
She's told the police, and the police is like, well, it's like $20.
Yeah.
Just change your account. We'll go off of this lady or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah. Give her
at
a warning.
The end of the day, there's not much we can do. And so this lady's decided to take it into her own hands with a little bit of revenge that I enjoy, because she has gone around her neighborhood, found a box, a cardboard box, gone around her neighborhood. So far, all she has is the address of these people, which is all you really need for this. She's gone around her neighborhood and scooped up as much dog poo as she can find, throw it in the cardboard box, and then mailed it directly to these people.
Has she mailed it, or has she just delivered it herself?
Well, I hope she's delivered it herself.
I mean, putting that through the system, that's very unfair.
That's it. You're getting a birthday present card from Nana, and you're like, oh, lovely Nana, open it. Oh, Jesus, why is it not dog
Everyone's mail's affected by that decision, and the poor people at the post office have done nothing to deserve this.
And I'd imagine because they're somewhat close in proximity because of the Uber Eats thing, I would imagine that she could probably just go and
absolutely
drop it off.
Deliver this herself.
And she's been continuously dropping it off, and like more and more every day she's been dropping off more dog poo that she can just find to these people, and is like, I hope that you are enjoying your meal and it doesn't end up looking like this or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Since you're just cheeky. At what point, though, as I'm saying this, does the revenge become more illegal than the actual thing that's happened?
Well, yeah, this is already not okay. I mean,
no one's getting hurt, but at the same time, it's not good to mail people poo.
I will say, I know where to draw the line. It's fascinating that I've actually been taught this by this particular system.
Okay.
But we've learned what the line is from Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
If you set fire to the box, that's when it's okay. When you got burning poo at the front and someone comes out trying to step on it to put it out, that's when you've gone too far.
What's funny? Too far.
I go back to your original point. Yeah. It is only $20. There's a proportional response required.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Rarely do I recommend a podcast, but you can check it out on the iHeartRadio app. Song Exploder. They have deconstruction of glass animals' heat waves. You can check that out for yourself as well.
While that is very good, and you're right, we should. Ours is also quite good.
Yeah, you can check out our podcast too. Yeah. Hit1047.com.au.
Decidedly, I wonder if Song Exploder will do us the common courtesy and shout out us.
No, I'm very big fan of Hrishikesh Hirway, and he does a West Wing podcast as well, but I doubt he's going to give us a shout out.
I don't think it reaches this far. Fair enough. Josh, in the quaint old town of St. Petersburg in Russia, there was a guy who was a quote-unquote daredevil.
Yeah.
When I hear daredevil, I always think, it's like the last time a daredevil was cool was... The first time was probably Evel Knievel, and then maybe Johnny Knoxville was the last one. Now when I hear Daredevil, it freaks me out, because I'm like, this is usually someone who won't be talked out of a bad idea.
Yeah. And it's a lot of that. I mean, imagine being like the family member of a Daredevil, because you'd be really nervous, but then you'd also be proud of like, well, that's an amazing human feat.
Yeah, you've done
something. Before they've shown you they can do it and they tell you it, all you'd want to do is talk them out of it.
Exactly.
Like, don't do that.
You're like, Mom, I'm going to
jump Grand Canyon. Don't do that.
Mom, I'm going to get shot into the sun, but I promise it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think so, but whatever.
And then you see it and you're like, oh, that's my boy. Amazing.
Anyway, this Russian Daredevil, which I think not to cast stereotypes, but I think even more full on.
Just getting into
really, really daredevil.
They've got a lot to work with, you know, like they've got tundra and they've got all these different locations
exactly
they could do
right.
daredevil activities.
And this guy has essentially just found a random place to do a daredevil activity, because he's got in both of his cheeks, not face cheeks, but cheeks pierced.
Yeah.
And
butt cheeks.
He's
got
his butt cheeks pierced. And through those, I don't know if you've ever seen like the back hooks that people sometimes get lifted up by them. It's
pretty hectic
when people get piercings through their back and get lifted up. He has decided to bungee jump holding on, like connected to the butt cheek piercings that he's got.
Okay, that seems like that would tear skin.
You would
it?
Think so, yeah. He's done it from 27 meters up.
Oh, that's a long bungee too.
He yelled... Honestly, I've seen the video. He's yelled. He's in quite a bit of pain. But surprisingly, the butt cheeks have kept. They've held.
Yeah.
They've held tight. And they've not ripped whatsoever. He's come back up. All good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not all good. I feel like that changes you as a person if you bungee jump from a part of your body.
Yeah. I just don't understand how I've seen daredevils do stuff with like a tongue piercing where they'll like lift weights.
Yeah,
I've actually seen
that
in person. And I'm like, I don't get how.
How's that happened?
Like your tongue just must be different to other people.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like your skin must just be different because it's so strong. Because I literally, the other day I was like, I got caught on that hinge on the door.
Mm.
Just ripped into my skin.
Cut you in. Yeah.
There's no way I could support my own weight. My skin just tear off.
Granted, it's in movies, but I've seen people's like arms get torn off.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that not happen with your tongue?
Yeah, or your
it's
butt.
Just your tongue.
If you're bungee
or
jumping your butt, off your butt.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the butt is the last place you want to sustain an injury. If you can avoid it, that's probably where you don't want an injury.
I think you feel like until something, because I've burnt my butt. I was standing up against a vertical heater one day that was like those metal bars.
It's hard to
and
sit
I
down.
Accidentally stood against it.
Yeah,
you don't realize how often you sit until you really can't sit.
You're in a purely standing world. I feel bad for this guy, but also not really because he's done it to himself. So
a lot of people say, "Ooh, got buns of steel."
Yeah,
this guy literally does have buns
actually
of steel.
Really
he can't
does,
actually
yeah.
claim that. It's not even just an expression.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, just taking a quick look around your food palette, there really isn't anything you don't not like. So here's the thing. You're about to besmirch some food, and it can only be like a couple of things.
I don't like chocolate, and I don't like parsnips.
Okay. How do you feel about Brussels sprouts?
Love them.
Yeah, cool.
Love Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. Love it all.
You not force-fed Brussels sprouts as a kid?
No, but my mum's
like
cooking
every,
really
every
well.
Every adult that doesn't like Brussels sprouts is because like they had to sit at a dinner table and finish Brussels sprouts.
I tell you what actually is the problem. It's this biased media against Brussels sprouts because I used to read Andy Griffith's books and the villain in every single one of those stories is Brussels sprouts. Yeah. I hate him. Trying to get in my mind, Andy? Hell no. He tried to convince me I should hate Brussels sprouts and every time I ate them, I'm like, these are fine. Why is he going on about
they
it
were,
like this?
For me as a kid, I think your taste buds aren't developed yet.
Yeah.
They're like the most flavoursome thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
As an adult, they're great.
But I love Brussels sprouts. This is about chocolate. About chocolate combining with something else that you love and I also love because it's not chocolate and parsnips. That would be strange. It's actually chocolate and bao buns. Apparently hitting the scene in Sydney and Melbourne are hot cross bao.
Yeah,
which will just be a bao bun with chocolate in the inside, and then they just make it so they've got like the white lines on it, like a hot cross bun, except it's bao. They're little bao buns.
Yeah.
I'm guessing made out of bao material.
Yeah, I'm all for this.
Yeah, I know you're all for
I'm
it.
All for this. Yeah. And I've often said, like I was only really, I had my mind closed to bao for a while. I'd never really tried it. And then I tried it and I'm like, why isn't every bread like this? Like, why can't you get a Subway footlong bao? But like you can get white bread, Italian herbs and cheese,
why
wheat.
Why can't you just get bao
Why can't
bread?
You also just get bao and just put a meatball sub on a bao
It's a great
footlong.
Question. I don't know.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I'm all for you know, mate, I have my own bao restaurant that I invite people to sometimes. Yeah. And I get some bows happening. Very weird that Costco don't sell the bow buns anymore. But
it's not that weird.
Thankfully.
Weird to you.
Weird to me because they seem to think always were very popular. But in Coles, they sell them now. So that's good. You can still get the bow buns.
You can still have a bow supplier.
I do have a bow supplier.
Great.
And I've combined all sorts of things. Like I bought popcorn chicken from KFC and put them in a bow bun with a little bit of the mayo on top. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the next level.
Yeah, I just think at a certain point, what are we doing? Why do we need this?
Well, we're not.
I'm the exact opposite of what you, I'm just saying. The exact opposite of what you've just said. But why do we need this?
We're not innovating enough for my liking. Because at my bow restaurant back in the day, there was a dessert offering that wasn't dissimilar to this.
It was
but
chocolate inside.
What it was a fun size Mars bar inside a little bow bun.
Yeah,
and it was delectable.
I don't think you fully comprehend. Mm. There would be so many people out there this morning that just heard you put a Mars bar in a bow bun and shuddered. Went, oh,
and there
Jesus.
Would be just as many people going, where do I buy one of these?
You, bow restaurant,
where
you
is,
say?
Where is this restaurant?
When is it open?
That was the Ned and Josh podcast. John Little, your Canberra region workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au. Hit 104.7.